from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. 20 wildfires are burning in California, with peak season still to come. As the areas in California defined as high risk for fire grow, California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones thinks it will become more difficult for homeowners to get and keep fire insurance.
We're going to see more insurers declining to write insurance for some homes in some areas, and we're going to see rate increases filed as well.
We'll discuss rising costs of fire insurance. And then at 9:45, we'll talk about the music and legacy of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who died this morning. And we'll want to hear your favorite songs and memories of Aretha Franklin. That's all next, after this news. Welcome to this morning's forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Up to 1,000 homes are still at risk of being destroyed by the Mendocino Complex fire, which started in late July and has become the largest fire in California history. Now, experts warn that the increase in destructive wildfires may make it more difficult for homeowners to find and keep fire insurance, as companies define more areas as high risk. However, despite their vulnerability, buildings are being rebuilt in fire-damaged areas. And we want to talk about how the fire insurance market is changing in California, what it means for those living in susceptible locations, and for the rest of us. And later on in this hour, we will pay our respects to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, who sang about respect and deserves a great deal of that. Let me tell you who is with us, though, for this segment. Suki Lewis is here with us in studio. And Suki, we welcome you back to Forum.
Hi, good morning, Michael. She's
been covering the fires, and we'll hear all about an update from her. Amy Bach is also with us. She's Executive Director of United Policyholders, San Francisco-based nonprofit that advocates for insurance consumers. Amy Bach, welcome.
Thank you so much.
In quite some time. We've also got Mark Secknan with us. She said we only see each other sometimes in the wake of disasters, unfortunately, but good to have you with us, and good to have Mark Secknan as well. He's Vice President, State Government Relations for the Property Casualty Insurers Association of America. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Thank you for joining us. Suki, let's get an update on you. You've been up there in Mendocino at the ranch fire and also in Lake County. People are moving out, and I want to get your sense of just what you're hearing from people, what you're getting in terms of their reactions. They've been through so much up there.
Yeah, like driving through Lake County, you really kind of get this history of fire over the last, since 2015. There's like the Rocky Fire, the Jerusalem Fire, the Valley Fire, the Clayton Fire, the Sulphur Fire, the Pawnee Fire, and now this massive ranch fire. And it's really like you're just driving past burn scars on the hillsides. And at this point, I think 50% of the land acreage of Lake County has burned since 2015. And you can feel it in people. It's, you know, for one thing, living in under a cloud of smoke, like my friend, you know, for her birthday, she just had her birthday. She lives up there. And her boyfriend gave her one of those smoke masks as her special birthday present. Like, this is really becoming kind of an ingrained fact of life for people, and it changes the way you relate to the natural environment, the way you think about home, and so much else. And so I think that, yes, there is people moving away. There are people trying to consider how to rebuild there. It's a really like poor area, and I think you also can see how the rebuild and how the recovery from these incidents is really different, kind of depending on where in California you are. Like, a really different kind of thing is happening, I feel like, in Sonoma and Santa Rosa than is happening there, and probably a completely different path will happen for the citizens who are up near Redding recovering from the car fire.
Well, it's made people certainly give some serious thought to staying up there now and also rebuilding. And I thought I get a response from you about what California Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones said. I talked to him yesterday, and I asked him a question. This has to do with all of California's urban interface. I said, should we continue to be building? Here's what he said.
We have a big problem in California. There's no question that we have a shortage of housing, and in particular a shortage of affordable housing. But we also do a very bad job of deciding where to build homes, and we don't adequately, in my view, incorporate the downstream costs of putting additional homes and additional businesses in harm's way. For example, if a local government decides that they want to put a subdivision in a high-risk fire area, there's no requirement that they certify that they have adequate local fire protection to fight that fire. And the cost of fighting the fire that invariably comes gets shifted to Cal Fire and the California taxpayers. So I think that we need to change how we make those decisions so that the decision makers have more skin in the game and we make better decisions about where to locate people and businesses.
So again, there's some real decisions, I think, about the red tape that goes into rebuilding, too. What were you able to glean from people's attitudes along those lines, especially in these areas which have been so devastated by fires for so long?
Well, I think like what he's talking about is I've seen this everywhere, this real tension, which is between wanting to encourage people to rebuild, wanting to give people whose lives have been devastated a leg up. You know, like in Sonoma County, they have a fast track permitting process to allow people to get back onto their property, get back into housing that they desperately need. And then this other consideration, which in a way is a bigger consideration about how we build, where we build, what the rules should be around that. And I've also seen some kind of interesting unintended consequences that can come out of that. For example, like higher, you know, code requirements and stuff like that, that, you know, make homeowners kind of raise the threshold for them to be able to rebuild. And in some cases, like in Lake County, I saw this quite a bit, and I'm starting to see it in Sonoma, people are turning to manufactured homes to get around these higher code requirements. And that's actually, you know, less fire safe. Like those are not fire hardened homes in the same way that a stick built house, you know, with a steel plank, you know, a hardy plank siding and tin roofing would be. So I think that there's issues of cost, there's issues of who's going to pay for it, and there's issues of how to kind of make people whole who really suffered through no loss of their own without putting them back, you know, putting them back and putting all of us back at risk of kind of devastation occurring again.
And of course, people have to consider what to do about insurance, too, which we'll be taking up in this hour. Suki Lewis here with us in studio, reporter for KQED who has been on the scene. Can you talk about the findings of Cal Fire and this report on firefighters' death in the car fire?
Oh, yes. So this was a kind of stunning report about the just extreme fire conditions that were happening during the car fire, and really illustrates some of the challenges that firefighters face. I think this season has been especially deadly for firefighters. As far as I know, I think it's 6 fatalities so far, 2 in the Ferguson fire, 3 in the car fire, and 1 in the ranch fire. And this report talks about this fire tornado that was created by these kind of extreme weather conditions. It was like the hottest day on record temperature of the year, up to 113 degrees, and then cooler temperatures offshore combined to kind of create this like tornado that was 1,000 feet across and wind speeds of 165 miles per hour. And it's really kind of heartbreaking to read this report. Like it kind of breaks it down in scientific detail, but it also speaks about these firefighters and their last kind of words and calls for help and their attempts to create like a safe zone. You know, the bulldozer driver was like driving around in a circle trying to create a safe zone for himself. And actually, when I was up there in the ranch fire, I was embedded with a Cal Fire team. And that group that I was with said something very similar almost happened to one of their firefighters going into the ranch fire. And they had to make one of these like safety zones for themselves, and they were able to get out. But it just kind of shows that all these old rules about fires and the way they behave are really changing. It's really changing.
Yeah.
And it said in the report, even experienced firefighters found the conditions very surprising, you know, which I think is an understatement, but also, yeah, just what you were saying.
Well, Suki Lewis with us again, and I should mention that now a KQED reporter, a former alumna of Forum as an intern, Let me ask you, though, about PG&E and all this, and what kind of attitudes have you discovered by talking to people? I mean, because there are a lot of bills we've spent a lot of time talking about them in terms of liability. What are you finding from the people you're talking to?
A lot of anger. I mean, I think, you know, there will be legislation, you know, there's kind of the legislators are trying to figure out kind of what the practical issues are and how liability, you know, should be decided. I mean, going back to the 2017 firestorm, you know, so far, like 12 of those fires were determined by CAL FIRE to have been caused by PG&E equipment, you know. Fewer of them were then, I think 8 of them or 9 of them were referred to the district attorney for potential prosecution. So we'll kind of see what comes out of those. You know, I think there are now thousands of plaintiffs who are suing PG&E. There, we'll see. I really think we'll see. I mean, this is huge losses. You know, Jerry Brown has talked about like trying to find a middle ground so that, you know, that PG&E can manage to stay in business, basically. But that will happen at the higher level. And I think we'll see all of these different things, legislation, the lawsuits, and, you know, ultimately who's liable and who has to pay for those extreme fires back in 2017.
And if you want to find more about PG&E, of course, you can go to our archives because we did spend a good deal of time on those legislative bills, which I said we're not going to get in the weeds with that now, but we're going to get into more about the fire insurance side of this. And Amy Box with us, as I said, executive director of United Policyholders. They're a San Francisco-based nonprofit that advocates for insurance consumers. Let's talk first, Amy, about how they assessed high risk, because that's a lot of people are being dropped from being insured.
Yes. So, you know, Suki gave us a great factual background of where we are today in California. And, you know, the insurance industry was one of the early, corporate sectors to recognize, accept climate change as a reality. And the insurance industry has been investing, I think, quite a bit of money into studying and predicting. And that has coincided with a shift in the way they evaluate risk. There's a lot more technology involved in and modeling.
We're moving from on-site to computers that are sometimes out of state.
Right. Or just formulas. And so, you know.
I mean, software that's out of state.
Right, software. But so there's been a lot going on in terms of already, you know, before these last two horrendous years that we are experiencing, there had already been some changes in what options were available to homeowners in these what are perceived as high-risk areas, and, you know, competition and choices and regulation. And where we are today, I think, is we are in flux. There's no question. We do have a state-run insurance company of last resort, the FAIR Plan. And my organization, United Policyholders, has had a lot of experience in other states where there were similar phenomena related to hurricanes. So in Florida, you know, there was a whole spate of horrible hurricanes, right? 2004, 5, 7. And the market in Florida, for example, for homeowners insurance got very funky. And at one point, the almost all the homes were insured through the state-run plan. Because the private insurers got very, very nervous about what was going on. And I think in California, because we had that template, we've all been looking at it and trying to look ahead and say, okay, wait, we don't want to go there. We don't want the private market to disappear, but we need some balance here. Because you can understand why insurance companies are pulling out and non-renewing. You get it, you know. So we're just trying to find balance.
Well, it's difficult to find that balance, and I should mention that because you talked about the state's FAIR Plan, I talked with Commissioner Jones yesterday also about surplus lines, which are being looked at. But there's a lot of problems with the sort of regulation and the rules that are followed and so forth. Somebody I was reading about went to Lloyd's of London. In fact, had insurance there 20% higher than would have paid. This is going to become it's already become a very serious problem. People feel that they're being locked out of insurance. And I wanted to talk with I talked with Mark Secknan, who's Vice President of State Government Relations for Property Casualty Insurers, I want to give you the phone number and invite you. I know there are many of you who have questions, and if you're listening to us up in the Mendocino area, Lake County, you may want to weigh in here as well and let us know your thoughts later on in this hour. We'll be talking about Aretha Franklin and paying our respects, as I said, but I'd like to hear some of you now who would like to join the program with any questions or comments, and you can do that by going to our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Again, you're invited to join us at 866-733-6786 or email us forum at kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. Let me bring Mark Secknan in. He's, as I said, Vice President of State Government Relations for Property Casualty Insurers. And Mark, good to have you with us. Let me actually get your response to something that Commissioner Jones said yesterday about the insurance industry and its inordinate influence in the state legislature.
The legislature is far too mindful of the insurance industry as it considers these consumer protections.
And your thoughts in response to the commissioner? Let me go right to you.
Well, we disagree. After the 2003 wildfires in San Diego, the legislature passed a number of bills to provide increased consumer protection. But the mantra was, we need to make sure that while we're passing consumer protection, we don't enact any legislation that will drive consumers or drive insurance companies out of the market. So, for example, if you're in a total loss situation, your insurer will continue to cover you for a year. This year, there's a bill to extend that to 2 years. We're extending the amount of time to rebuild. So there's a lot of good things that have been done here. For example, one of the bills that did not see the light of day, which was actually introduced by the Department of Insurance, was a bill that says you should get 150% coverage. So you pay for $100,000 of coverage, your house burns down, you get $150,000 worth of coverage that you didn't pay for. That just was not appropriate and would could have negative impacts on the marketplace. What we're working on right now, I think, are a couple of key issues that will hopefully help out the market as it moves forward. One is we are involved in a very broad coalition with counties and cities, Up from Ashes, which is a wildfire survivor group in Santa Rosa, and others, on trying to ensure that the liability issues as it relates to the utilities are not shifted. PG&E has been very active in the legislature trying to shift their liability, which means that if they're successful, those additional losses that would normally be picked up by the responsible party, in this case PG&E, would have to be picked up by cities and counties and homeowner policyholders. So we're very actively engaged in fighting that. We're also very actively engaged in supporting a number of bills out there that deal with what we think is really the real problem, which is we need to better manage our forests. The Conference Committee on Wildfire Preparedness has had hearings on this. There's a lot of understanding that we've let our forests grow too dense, and that's why we're seeing, while we're not seeing an increase in the number of fires, the severity of these fires is going up significantly, and a lot of that has to do with the way in which we manage our forests. And so there's efforts. There was a lot of resources put in this year's budget, including the ability to buy helicopters that can actually fly at night. And there's, I think, an understanding with the conference committee that we need to do even more in that area.
But let me get back to what we talked about with Amy Bach with respect to risk assessment, because there's a lot of third-party data analytics that have come into this. She talked about the technology. You mentioned software computer programs that are done out of state. This is affecting the risks of insurance. It's affecting, in many instances, excuses, maybe valid excuses, maybe not so valid excuses, not to cover.
Well, remember, the insurance industry is in the business of predicting risk. So the more effective the tool that they have to predict that risk and more appropriately price for that risk. Because remember, insurance pricing is a risk-based concept. So you should pay something to reflect the risk of the property that you live in. And to the degree that tools become more sophisticated and can better do that, that means that those people who live in the higher risk areas are paying a more appropriate share of the insurance premium.
All right, I want to bring some callers in here, and let me begin with Will. Will, join us.
Yes, thank you. So I'm trying to link the two conversations that you've been having here, and what I'm not understanding is why there aren't fire-resistant standards put in place for Sonoma County to make sure folks have defensible space. They're not even looking at landscape plans. They're in terms of planting things that are fire resistant. They're not mandating hardening of homes in any way differently since the October fires. And will that not lead to the insurance, private insurers, pulling away and not insuring because we don't have those things mandated in the area. And if that link is there and we should be doing those things to insure insurance, why isn't there the communications between the insurance companies and the municipalities to make sure that we're mandating things that we should, given the new normal?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Well, let me go to you, Suki.
Well, I mean, I would be interested in hearing how insurers are talking to local leaders and what their kind of input is in the process, because I often feel like it's left back on the homeowner to kind of make all of these decisions. And I don't think that's necessarily the smartest way to do it, because then you just end up getting a really uneven result. And I do think that Sonoma County is in this process of challenge that we were talking about, with these kind of competing interests of rebuild now, crazy housing shortage, you know, people who are homeless and need somewhere to be, and where do we build? Is this going to burn again? You know, I mean, the Tubbs Fire, obviously, with the kind of historical incident of the Hanley Fire in exactly that same, footprint, I think did, you know, start those conversations. But I don't see a lot of on the ground, like, okay, we need to do this and this and this differently in terms of how we rebuild. But I would be interested to see the insurers get involved in that conversation.
Yeah, you want in here, Mark Sexton?
Well, the insurers are involved in a number of efforts. We support stronger building codes. There actually is a research institute that's funded by the insurance industry that researches how to make more resilient buildings, both for wildfire and for hurricane. We participate in a program in Colorado called Wildfire Partners that is a community mitigation program, a very strict community mitigation program, and several companies have committed to write insurance in that area as long as the standards are being followed. We do not, however, get involved in local land use decisions. That's not really the insurance industry's role.
Let me hear from Amy Buck on this as we come up on a break. And Amy, aren't insurance companies required by law to cover homeowners who have complied with fire safety?
No. So there's a lot of work that has to be done, I think, to help homeowners do things to make their properties more wildfire safe. And I've been profoundly disappointed by the insurance industry's engagement with our organization on that front. For the last couple years, we had been communicating. We had studied the Colorado program. It's a little too expensive to replicate in California, so we came up with another plan, but where to get the insurers to agree to incentivize and partner with their customers to help them reduce their home's risk level. We just kept hitting a wall over and over.
Hitting a break, so okay. Let's hold these thoughts and we'll get back and we'll return to some of your phone calls. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. We're talking about fire insurance, and we're talking also about the fires themselves, and later on in the hour, we'll be talking about Aretha Franklin. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're talking about fire insurance and updating you on the fires up north. KQED reporter Suki Lewis with us, Amy Bach, executive director of United Policyholders, and Mark Sexton, who is vice president of state government relations for property casualty insurers. We do invite your questions and your comments and concerns. Toll-free number 866-733-6786. Want to go right to our calls, and let me go, Rob, to you. Good morning, Rob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask your guess, if we assumed that insurance companies in good faith had a risk assessment that basically indicated that they weren't going to offer insurance in a certain area, should we take that as the new normal is that there are certain areas that are just not livable anymore? And with the fire question, I think it's a little difficult to answer, but an earlier guest was talking about hurricanes, and it seems fairly obvious that a house on the shore in Florida may be reaching the point where we don't want it to be insured, that we actually would prefer people not build in places like that.
Yeah, I'm going to go to you again, Mark Sexton.
Well,
the first thing we have to understand is residential insurance in California will always be available. If it's not available from the admitted market or the surplus lines market, it will always be available for the FAIR plan. Now, we can talk about whether or not the FAIR plan policy is as good as it should be or not, but everybody can get insurance from the FAIR plan, so it will always be available. In terms of whether or not there are areas that are too risky to write totally, even in Florida, we've seen that the insurance industry has returned. I think that's a decision that needs to be made by local officials and county officials, and I think some of the things they need to do, which we've been talking about, is, you know, building codes are improving to help make houses more fire resistant. And I think things like that will help, along with all the forest management stuff that hopefully the legislature will do this year.
I've got a quick question from a listener who wants to know, does upgrading old homes to new building codes ensure continued insurance coverage?
That is but one factor. One of the challenges we have in wildfire mitigation is that if you mitigate your house for a hurricane or a earthquake, if your neighbor does nothing, that doesn't matter for your property. Your property will still be protected. Well, wildfires are much different. So you can do everything that you can do, but if you live on a street that CAL FIRE will not go up because it's too narrow, if you live near a variety of homes that are doing no mitigation, that does not necessarily make your risk portfolio all that much better, which is one of the reasons, like in Colorado, we push for community mitigation because everybody needs to be in on the wildfire mitigation.
All right, I want to go back to Amy Bach. Amy, where is the insurance company falling down for consumers in your judgment?
Well, I think they need to partner with their customers, not just punish them, not just walk away, and then make some changes in the way they will sell a policy so that they can sell simpler, more affordable coverage. And even if it's limited, at least it will pay, and there won't be a whole lot of fighting. Because I think a lot of what's going on in Sonoma right now is that the policies have too many formulas and that determine when you're going to get paid and how much. We need to simplify. The insurers need to They need to certainly take a longer range view and recognize that if somebody has been with them for a long time, that's a loyal customer, there should be something more they can offer that customer to help them be a better risk. And that said, I think that, you know, again, the insurers do have a lot of technical information, and they know that for the last two decades, people have been coming up short on their insurance after every disaster, and they don't have enough money to rebuild. And a lot of that is in the code compliance. So I think insurers need to put code, the coverage for getting your house up to code, right in the policy, not have it be an extra that some people have and some people don't. So simplify policies, simplify coverage. Stay engaged in helping their customers rather than just walking away. I think people are shocked when they find out that, you know, your insurance company can drop you. They have to give you 45 days notice when your policy comes up for expiration, and no matter how many arguments you make, they're free to walk away. That said, there is a lot of innovation going on. I mean, the non-admitted market is definitely growing. It's not as regulated. I'm sure Dave Jones told you that. Not as easy for a regulator to crack down if they're being unfair on a claim. But there is innovation and there's competition in the insurance market. So those are the good things.
I also asked Dave Jones about solvency in the insurance, and he said things are we haven't reached the crisis point yet is the way I think he phrased it. Let me bring some more of our callers in here, and we go to Ty next. Ty, thanks for waiting. You're on with us.
Hi, thanks for having me again, guys. I am an independent insurance broker, and I like to comment on what I see on the consumer side. First of all, there is not a single insurance policy or homeowners policy that is built the same. So that goes to the standard that your other guest is commenting on. Some will cover anything as far as whatever it costs to rebuild your house. Some will only cover a specific amount listed on the policy. So that's why you have a lot of complaints when there's a huge fire and some people get a check and it turns out it's not enough to cover for the whole rebuild. Now, consumers are now more than ever buying policies online, and you'd be surprised how many people come to me and say, Ty, what do you think about what I just bought? It's super cheap. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't know where you got that, but first of all, it doesn't even cover your property because you're in a fire zone. And it specifically says right here that you cannot be anywhere near a brush map. So you just bought a piece of paper that doesn't even cover your property, right? And a lot of people aren't finding out until they file a claim. So in short, I think consumers should simply reach out to their brokers, local agents, and I know people don't want to have conversations in person anymore, but for this type of thing is important. And just have them explain exactly what it covers, what they can do about it, and some of the things that they can do, such as keeping brush away from their house and all these other factors.
Ty, let me thank you for the call. I want to hear what Amy Bach has to say about your remarks, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, well said. The marketplace is changing very quickly, but the most important thing is that if you are buying insurance, it should cover your risk. I don't think any insurance policy should be allowed to be sold in this. In fact, it's not allowed to be sold in the state of California if it doesn't cover the peril of fire. That is a bottom that our statutes say you cannot fall below. That said. I think Dave Jones has been a firm hand regulator. He's leaving office. I don't know who's going to be coming in after him. But the insurance industry does need to be regulated. It's a for-profit competitive business that has moved in the last few decades more into the sort of financial services, and I think away from what consumers need it to be, which is a safety net that's going to be there when you need it.
Let me read a comment from Roxana, who says insurance companies are some of the wealthiest industries in the country and are just in it for the profit, forming a nonprofit homeowners cooperative to provide necessary funds in times of need would be more affordable. And another listener tweets, local governments allowing large developers to build housing in unsafe areas is a huge part of the problem. Taxpayers and homeowners pay and developers walk away richer. This is sort of the nature of the real problem, Suki, that we're talking about here. I mean, when you're going to rebuild, and maybe you shouldn't rebuild, you've got the developers, you've got the economic incentives, and they're all there.
Yeah, and I think also if we look at how risk is defined and who decides that, like CAL FIRE actually comes in and will look at, you know, this is risk for this neighborhood, this is whatever, but local governments are the ones who have to approve those risk maps. And so local governments have these competing incentives to say, this developer is pushing us to build housing here, whatever, let's not quite approve what CAL FIRE says is the risk. Let's fudge this a little bit and make it look a little bit different because that will allow this development to go forward. And so, you know, I think it gets back to this same theme that we keep hitting over and over again is like, who is ultimately on the line, you know, when things go wrong, and how do we kind of change the way that we as a society are kind of looking at this risk and understanding our own kind of role in rebuilding and living with fire risk?
Well, when I spoke to Commissioner Jones yesterday, and Amy Bach, I'm going to go to you on this, I reminded him that a couple of decades ago when he was a legislator, there was legislation put forward about the state's role in this, and this was actually a decade ago, and he introduced a bill requiring local growth and fire protection on the local level, you know, to be coordinated in that way, as a listener, Roxana, said in a comment here, and it was vetoed by then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he still thinks that approach is not only vital, but ought to be moved forward.
Well, I think, you know, we say all disasters are local. It's when you really see how important the conditions are in that community. As Suki was saying earlier, it makes a huge difference whether a community can rebound quickly, whether it was strong before. So Lake County is so challenged in that way. But that said, I think that we've learned a lot. That's the good thing about all these horrible disasters. We learn a lot. Coordination at the local level is incredibly important. There are fire safe councils all over the state, but they're volunteer driven. So I do think the insurance industry does need to invest more in helping their customers be prepared for fire risk and not just walk away.
Are they looking at zip codes mainly now, do you think?
They are looking heavily at zip codes, and they're looking at these models, this risk meter. There's a model, and you get a red letter. Your house gets stamped with a number, and it's like a credit score. And that's how they're making their decisions. And it's very impersonal, and it doesn't seem to be helping.
Red makes one think of redlining. I'm sorry to say, but yeah. There have been some who have complained that this is a kind of redlining. But let me get some caller from Santa Rosa on Patrick. Join us. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Michael, you asked a question earlier regarding whether or not insurers are required in California to offer insurance if a homeowner, the home meets code. And the answer was no, but there wasn't really an explanation about that. What does that mean, no?
What does that mean? Mark, let me go back to you, Mark Setnan.
Well, I think you're talking about...
That the insurer has the right to say, no, sorry, we're not going to insure
right.
this house.
Even if it's up to fire code. Mark, do we
I
have
thought
you?
That question was being, I thought the question was being directed to me, but I
yeah, it was. Go ahead, Mark.
On my behalf. The insurance companies in California are not required to write specific properties, so they may have their own underwriting guidelines that may or may not. But it is a highly competitive market, and people need to understand that if one insurance company is not writing that risk, there are likely to be others that are writing that risk. And that's one of the reasons that they need to shop around. The independent agent talked about using an independent agent. There's legislation here that would set up a home insurance finder to help people find insurance to understand that the market has a lot of different players that you may not know about but may be willing to write insurance. We've got several member companies who are new in this who are specialized in writing high-risk fire areas. So there are companies out there that are still real willing to write this risk. They may not be the company that you've been with. It's important to understand that both parties have an opportunity to walk away from the contract. Consumers are not required to renew their contract with an insurance company, and that it's a one-year policy because that's the way it's priced. It's priced on a one-year. If we price the policy on a 20-year basis for somebody who has a 1 in 30-year chance of a wildfire, the policies would be far more expensive. So the policies are priced on a one-year basis.
Sorry, Mark, but we've got seconds left here, and I want to ask Amy a question from a listener who wants to know, to whom can homeowners turn to audit their coverage and help them find weaknesses?
Cal Insurance Finder actually is a project of ours. United Policyholders partnered with a company, a B Corp called Yapacopia. So you can go to our website, uphelp.org, and you can click on the link to find insurance. And it's a network of independent agents around the state that can help you evaluate your current coverage and possibly find better options.
All right. Let me thank everybody for this informative hour, 45 minutes of an hour, because as I said, we're going to be talking about Aretha Franklin. Thank you, Suki.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mark.